Father, this is your word. We just pray that you bring forth as you would have us to hear this morning, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just praise your name for all that you do and all that you're doing in each and every one of us, Father. And we just bow to you this morning.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
I can't. Well, you all heard my pitiful story about how I'm not prepared, but let me tell you how I started to prepare for Psalm 55. I got out my little computer here, and I read the psalm, and then I started reading commentaries, because I had no idea. And a lot of people think that this psalm was written during the time when Absalom rose up against King David to try to take the throne away from him. And so then I felt like I had to go back and start at Samuel and read all about David and, you know, his background, although I knew a lot of it. I don't think I have ever sat down and done that, to get the whole thing from, you know, start to finish. And oh my gosh, it's the royal soap opera. Mm-hmm. And
the young and the king.
Yeah. Well, can we just read it, and then we might have to go back and read Samuel for a few chapters so we can get the gist of what's going on here. So, anybody want to read Psalm 55? Thanks, Jim.
The whole psalm?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me and hear me. I am restless in my complaint and moan noisily because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they bring down trouble upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. Wow. So I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around it on its walls. Iniquity and trouble are also in the midst of it. Destruction is in its midst. Oppression and deceit do not depart from its streets. For it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man of my equal, my companion, and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together. We walked to the house of God in the throng. Let death seize them. Let them go down alive into hell. For wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he will hear my voice. He has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. For there were many against me. God will hear and afflict them, even he who abides from of old, because they do not change, therefore they do not fear God. He has put forth his hands against those who were at peace with him. He has broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved, but you, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in you.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yep. So I saw Jim draw back at the word horror. I don't know if that is in, I didn't look to see if that was, that particular word was mentioned in any of the other psalms, but this was, if this was indeed, you know, David writing at that time of Absalom's rebellion, then we understand why. You know, this is his son, and he's done a lot of stuff before, you know, it came to this, but another bad part of it is that he has a friend. He's been his friend. He's gone to church with him. And he's taken over by Absalom. This man's name is Ahithophel. And come to find out that Ahithophel is Bathsheba's grandfather. Okay? So it seems, we'll go and read it in a minute, but it seems like Ahithophel has held in his heart all these years that transgression against Bathsheba. And all the while, he has been, to David's face, kind and loving, and David was clueless that he had this bitterness. Now, the word doesn't explain, when you go back and read it, how long Ahithophel knew. It doesn't give you any of the details of that. But this man was, it says in Samuel that he was like an oracle of God, that, you know, they went to him and he always gave good advice. And, you know, he was a man of God. He was a friend of David. And David not only was horrified by Absalom's rebellion and all the things that came before, but now it seems that Absalom is in a league with Ahithophel to bring him down. And I just try to put myself in David's place and think, you know, he knows the sin that he's committed. He said in the Psalms that it's before him day and night, you know. So then to see his son kind of suffer the same sin and to think, I just, you know, being a woman, I guess, I want to know what's going through people's minds when they're doing these things. And it's like, do you think Ahithophel thought that God was wrong for leaving David king, you know? Because under the law, I mean, I don't know how many people even knew about him and Bathsheba either. But under the law, he could have been killed, you know, because he committed this adultery, he committed the murder. But God forgave him. And the word of the prophet was that, you know, you're going to be king. But let's go to 2 Kings.
Have you said that Ahithophel was what to Bathsheba?
Her grandfather.
Her grandfather.
Her grandfather. Okay. It's 2 Samuel 12:10. If somebody gets it, will you read it for me?
And whenever they saw that there was much money in the chest.
Now
therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife.
So still called her the wife of Uriah.
Mm-hmm. Read 11 too, will you, Brenda?
Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, which was his son, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of his son. It says, for thou did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun.
And that's exactly what happened.
We
go on to, if we start in the 15th chapter, you hear the whole story of what Absalom did. Mm-hmm. But there was more before that, because the whole thing seemed to have started. Like I said, you don't know, because the scripture doesn't tell you, and that's for a purpose, I guess, you know, when these people knew about all these things and how they held them in their heart. We do know that the one incident with Absalom and his sister Tamar, another son, the first son, whose name was Amnon, he was lusting after Absalom's sister, which they're all brothers and sisters have, but Absalom and Tamar were full. They had the same mother and the same father. And Amnon, the oldest son, schemed to get Tamar. I'm sure you know this story.
Yes. Sure did.
Anyhow, so
he was sick and she
yes.
Didn't care of me.
Yes, he played
he
sick.
Lost the
mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes. And anyhow, he took her by force. And then the scripture says that after that, as much as he had loved her beforehand, he hated her that much
yes.
then. And, you know, it was a shame to her. And this was Absalom's sister. And he found out about it. And the scriptures tell us that for 2 years, he plotted and schemed to kill his brother. So he held that bitterness in his heart for 2 years before he acted on it. And David knew what happened. It doesn't say how he knew. It just says that he heard about it and he was wroth. But he did not deal with Amnon. He didn't. I don't know if it was because his son and, you know, it was his son and he loved him. I don't know why, but he didn't do anything about the whole thing. And I think that fired up Absalom. You know, it's like.
He probably saw
against
himself
both.
And his son.
Against both of them.
He probably
it's like,
saw himself and his son.
Exactly,
yes.
Right
yeah.
there.
So, yeah.
And so anyway, it starts off there. And, you know, who knows what happened in the intervening time. But you come down to 2 years later. And let's go to the 15th chapter. And I think we need to read 15 through 19 maybe to get the whole story of what happened with Absalom and his rebellion against King Saul. Is that okay if we read that?
15 through 19?
Samuel 15, 1. Just read the whole chapter.
Oh, okay.
You going to do it?
I will.
Thank you.
And it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, "Of what city art thou?" And he said, "Thy servant is of one of the tribes of Israel." And Absalom said unto him, "See, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee." Absalom said moreover, "Oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice." And it was so that when any man came nigh unto him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. And it came to pass after 40 years that Absalom said unto the king, "I pray thee, let me go and pay my vow, which I have vowed unto the Lord in Hebron. For thy servant vowed a vow, which I, while I abode at Geshur in Syria, saying, if the Lord shall bring me again indeed to Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord. And the king said unto him, go in peace. So he arose and he went to Hebron. But Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then ye shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron. And with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called. And they went in their simplicity, and they knew not anything. And Absalom said for Ahithophel, the Gileadite, David's counselor from his city, even from Gilo, and while he offered sacrifices, and the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. Keep going?
Yeah.
And there came a messenger to David, saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. And David said unto all his servants that were with him in Jerusalem, arise, let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us and smite the city with the edge of the sword. And the king's servants said unto the king, behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint. And the king went forth household after him, and the king left 10 women, which were concubines, to keep the house. And the king went forth, and all the people after him, and tarried in a place that was far off. And all his servants passed on beside him, and all the Cherethites, and the Pelethites, and the Gittites, 600 men, which came after him from Gath, passed on before the king. Then said the king to Ittai, the Gittite, "Wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile. Whereas thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us? Seeing I go whither I may, return thou and take back thy brethren. Mercy and truth be with thee." And Ittai answered the king and said, "As the Lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there will also thy servant be." And David said to Hittai, "Go and pass over." And Hittai the Gittite passed over, and all his men, and all the little ones that were with him. And all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people passed over. The king also himself passed over the brook Kidron. And all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. And lo, Zadok also, and all the Levites were with him, bearing the ark of the covenant of God. And they sat down the ark of God. And Abiathar went up until all the people had done passing out of the city. And the king said unto Zadok, "Carry back the ark of God into the city. If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me both it and his habitation. But if he thus say, I have no delight in thee, behold, here am I, let him do to me as seemeth good unto him." The king said also unto Zadok the priest, "Art not thou a seer? Return unto the city in peace, and your two sons with you, Ahimaaz thy son, and Jonathan the son of Abiathar. See, I will tarry in the plain of the wilderness until there come word from you to certify me." Zadok, therefore, and Abiathar carried the ark of God back into Jerusalem and tarried there. And David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet and wept as he went up, and had his head covered, and he went barefoot, and all the people was with him, covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went. And one told David, saying, "Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom." And David said, "O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness." And it came to pass that when David was come up to the top of the mount where he worshipped God, behold, Hushai the Archite came to meet him with his coat rent and earth upon his head. Unto whom David said, "If thou passest on with me, then thou shalt be a burden unto me. But if you return to the city and say unto Absalom, I will be thy servant, O king, as I have been thy father's servant hitherto, so will I now also be thy servant. Then mayest thou for me defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. And hast thou not there with thee Zadok and Abiathar, the priests? Therefore it shall be that what thing goes, soever thou shalt hear out of the king's house, thou shalt tell it to Zadok and Abiathar, the priests. Behold, they shall have there with them their two sons, Amaz, Zadok's son, and Jonathan, Abiathar's son, and by them shall ye send unto me everything that you hear." So Hushai, David's friend, came unto the city, and Absalom came unto Jerusalem.
So David, being the good king that he was, and that God had appointed, decided that rather than to bring bloodshed into the city, God's city, that he would leave and let Absalom come in. You see a picture, this kind of reminds me of when David and Bathsheba's son died, how that David fell before the Lord crying and weeping and as long as he was alive, and then when the child died, he got up and ate and cleaned himself up, and the and the servants didn't understand. And he said, you know, while the child was alive, I had hoped that God would repent and not do what he said he was going to do. But once God, in his sovereignty, took the child, David was okay with it. The child was with God, and he knew that, you know, God was in control. His will was done.
Yes.
Well, when the priest came out with the ark, it reminded me that David really trusted in the sovereignty of God, because, you know, he could have said, yeah, let's take it with us, because most of Israel thought that where the ark went, the victory of God went. But David knew that it wasn't the ark, it was the Father, it was God. You know, if he was on your side, then you would be victorious. And so he told him, you know, take it back down to the city where it belongs. And it just, to me, that was just another picture of, okay, Lord, you know, all the time he had before him the prophecy of Nathan. You know, he had sinned, and that this bloodshed would come from his own household upon him. And I think that, you know, not that he was reconciled to it and that he was okay with all of that, because it horrified him what was happening. But he trusted that God, the Savior, would take care of the whole matter. And so he left with the people of the city who were loyal to him, who hadn't been corrupted by Absalom. And Absalom was like the ultimate politician. You know, he, for one thing, he was good looking. You know, he was the king's son. And he kind of, in a way that he couldn't be blamed for taking anything away from David, stood in the city and said, you know, heard people's grievances, because there wasn't a judge set up. And he said, you know, if I were the judge, then I would be on your side. Didn't matter what the argument was, I don't think, whether it was just or not. He told them that they had a grievance.
Politician.
Yes, a politician. Not only that, when they came to bow down before this prince of David, he didn't let them. He grabbed them and kissed them. So there you go, politician. Okay? So in this way, the scriptures say that he stole the hearts of the men of Israel. So Jerusalem was divided, you know. Even though Absalom, where was he? Gershon or somewhere. He had been pulling his shenanigans in that city, but also he had part of the people of Jerusalem, you know, on his side. So we have this split. And so David takes the loyal people out of the city and is running from Absalom so that this bloodshed won't occur in Jerusalem. And added to the, you know, the heartbreak of this rebellion of Absalom is his friend Ahithophel, whom he thought was his friend, who he went to church with. You know, in reading this, it sounded like there was some kind of ceremony, but maybe there wasn't. Maybe it was just that they all thought that, you know, standing as one before God, that you were loving your brother, not having hate for him in your heart, you know. But it sounded like there might have been some kind of ceremony where, you know, they had some kind of bond of brotherhood. But regardless, David had no idea that Ahithophel had this in his heart. And he was shocked to his core and horrified when he found out that Ahithophel was the one that was giving advice to Absalom. Okay.
Can I comment on that?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times people play both sides. Because if you play both sides and you're noticed on being on both sides, you don't lose a whole lot. And when people think that they're going to lose their position in life, they have a tendency to switch sides. Because they want to hold a position, and sometimes your position is more valuable than life itself. And really, this to me was him, his best friend or his close friend, wanting to still hold a position. But you know what? I think he was trying to hold a place still of influence. And that's what even David prayed, that he would be able to lead him in a place to where, you know, he would see his ways and know that they were foolishness. But, and so in one way, God helped David's prayers be answered by having him try to stay in a place. You know, you can't sway people unless you're among them. If you're out there and they never hear your voice, they don't know you. You know, where the one person said, you know, I know Paul and I know this and I know Jesus, but who are you? And they were talking to the people of God. Who are you? Until you sit among them, you know, one of my favorite scriptures is, know those that labor among you. I think that's very important that we know that. Because, first of all, we'll find out what spirit they're of. You know, he did not give us a discerning spirit for us not to use it. And some people get you not to use it by saying, well, you're judging me. Well, absolutely the Spirit's judging you. That's right. And it's revealing things that you probably don't want to be revealed. And if that goes on, you'll find out that people won't want to be around you as much. To me, you can say whatever you want. I believe that's the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. But in this case, I believe that God was using everything. God was already in control. He was showing him how much he was in control and even doing that. And I love how David took the people and didn't want bloodshed. You know, it was like, now did David realize, well, you know, I don't understand it, you know, and I don't agree with it, but I do agree that God's in charge. And a lot of times, you know, we have a hard time with that because we've got to get past this mind, the thing that's in between our ears.
It was like Doug was talking about last night, preceded and proceeds. This preceded that we read about David and Absalom and these characters in the Bible here, these people in the Bible, to me, it always smacks of two natures. I think that's really what the Lord is showing us in all these experiences with, you know, David's own son. You know, it showed how David reacted to the situation, and it showed how Absalom was operating, and one was operating after the flesh, and David was trusting in the sovereignty of God, and everything was going to be well as he did well, as he kept his focus on the Lord. And every time I read the Old Testament, that's all it cries of. When you get into the New Testament, is, you know, as the Lord saying, all you have to do is just stay focused on me, and you won't have to worry about the Absaloms. You know, any weapon that's formed against you is not going to prosper. And I think a lot of times we get our eyes off on the weapon. We get our eyes off on the brother or the sister that's making the comments or whatever, instead of lifting them up and praying for them and just trusting that the Lord's going to make everything come out for his glory and for our good. So I like stories like that, but again, these things show us, this is preceding, like you were kind of ministering last night, I guess I'm saying that right, Doug. As I read that, I can just see now in the New Testament what was said then and how the Lord is, you know, encouraging us to walk now. So.
In my own life, it is focusing on the Lord, but even greater than that, it's submitting.
Yes.
Especially when David had gotten that word that this turmoil was going to come up from out of his own family. Because of the sin that he committed, he submitted to the fact that, you know, and even if I focus on God, sometimes it's still very, very difficult to submit to God's will. Sometimes I want my will. And boy, that is death to Adam in a nutshell. Your will, not mine. A lot of us talking out of both sides of your mouth and being a friend to his face and talking about him behind his back and working with him. That is Adam. I mean, isn't that what the Proverbs and, you know, a fool, you know, you talk out of both sides of your mouth and you do this. And I've been that person. And you don't even realize it's just Adam. It's Adam in you. And until the Lord convicts you of that, shows it to you, then it's your place to submit to God's will and to think before you speak. Sometimes we don't even know what we believe. We're so busy trying to please the person we're in front of that we just, oh, yeah, you know, and then, but if we submit to God, we will be quick to hear and slow to speak.
Anybody else?
I like how David, do you know Kenny Rogers wrote a song about David? Know when to hold him, know when to fold him, know when to walk away, know when to run.
Yes.
And that was David's life, and he was led by the Spirit, and that Spirit, wow. I mean, he knew exactly when to approach Saul. He knew exactly when to back away from Saul. I mean, something to be said being led by the Spirit.
You know, that's one of my favorite gospel songs. You know, when David was saying that he wouldn't come against God's anointed or touch his anointed, he was actually, whether we realize it or not, honoring God.
Yeah, absolutely.
And sometimes, you know, like Kathy was saying about being quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, that that is very key to moving in the Spirit. That we have to know the voice of the Lord. We have to not lean into our own understanding. We need to be following up on that. And, you know, if you need to practice it, you can say, God, is this your voice? You know, because you know what? Whether you know it or not, God will reassure you. He'll bring into your life something that he knows that you don't know he knows that will make you think, oh, God, you are in control. You are in control. Because you know what? I put things in front of God. Because I know God's willing to honor his word above his name. And, you know, when he says try the spirits, you know, and about the discerning of the spirit and the discerning of things, he gives you that. That's not by accident. There's a reason for that. And I would tell you 90-some percent of the time is to bring him honor. You know, when we question ourselves, what we're about to say, does it bring him honor? Does it unify the body? Does it encourage one another? You know, sometimes that'll keep our mouth shut because, you know, we won't be quick to say something. Yes. And when we react, like I was telling the teenagers, when we react, instead of reacting, we ought to be just like a buffer to where we represent God and we don't react like our normal bodies would react, but we react like the Spirit would. We have understanding. Remember, Joseph said to his brothers, and hi, brothers and sisters, yes, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good.
Yes.
I mean, how many times do you read even in the scripture where Joseph even questioned God or was angered? I don't see that a lot in there. But in my natural thinking, I believe he had an opportunity to. You know, a lot of times we'll, I hate to say it like this, but a lot of times we'll be like Absalom. We'll have an opportunity to ambush. But our ambush with God is laying our weapons down. Surrender. When you surrender to God, he becomes for you. The question is, are we for him?
Yeah. Well, Doug was talking about taking offense last night, and both Absalom and Ahithophel seems like they had nurtured, you know, the wrongs done to them by David, or the perceived wrongs. Actually didn't do anything to either of them. It was to, you know, their family. But those offenses created that fence, and they weren't able to love their brother, their king, you know, that God had appointed over them. So anyway, as the story goes on, this Hushai, or however you pronounce his name, was a friend of David's, and David convinced Hushai to go back and hang around and kind of give him some information and to confuse what was going on with Absalom and Ahithophel.
Spy.
Yes, spy. And he had the spies all set up, you know, tell these guys and these guys' sons will run back and tell me what's going on. Well, that's exactly what happened. And as far as I can tell, Hushai was just a guy. He was a friend of David's. And, you know, Ahithophel was an oracle of God. And they really paid attention to what Ahithophel said. Well, it turned out that when Ahithophel gave bad advice, they listened to him. And when he gave good advice, they ignored him. So David's prayer was answered in that way. And God has a way of, you know, working things out to your advantage if you will just trust him. So we could read the rest of the story if you want, or you could just give me some more thoughts. What you got, Doug? Nothing? Well, when I was reading this psalm, I thought, you know, you go through all this stuff, but it's like these psalms are part of their liturgy, meaning they used it in their service towards God. And I thought, hey, that would be cool if we all came up with our own psalm. You know? You were in trouble and the Lord saved you. He brought you out. He paid your bills.
Yes.
He healed your body. Wouldn't that be cool? And you could send it to Cynthia and put your name on it.
She would sing it?
We would sing it. We could sing it. So that we can remind ourselves that God is our Savior.
Yes.
And if we trust and rely in Him, no way you can go wrong.
Yeah, Debbie, another thing I'm thinking of too, that, how did you pronounce the name? Ahithophel?
Ahithophel.
Ahithophel.
Okay.
It's interesting how the Lord was controlling the good and what we call evil in that situation too. You know, you'd have that man say, the man would speak the truth, but they wouldn't believe it. I think of that that scenario where I can't remember all the names, but the king said, is there another? God asked at his throne one time, he said, who will be a lion spirit in the prophet's mouth? You know that. You guys know that scripture. You've read that. But anyway, I was just thinking about how God is, you know, we've been talking about how David always recognizes the sovereignty of God. And he is. I mean, even when it comes to the interplay of what we
good and evil
good
is
and
the
evil.
Way.
Right. God is, you know, when it says God creates evil, it's kind of like when he wanted a lying spirit in the mouth of the prophet to go and betray a king that was out to do his own fleshly will. Well, God used an evil spirit to, you know, to bring about his purposes and his plans.
You know,
so it's kind of hard to say, well, that's not God, but that is, you know, that old tree of good and evil, you know, how he really controls it.
Well, it's even more amazing because they had called this guy an oracle of God. And then here comes Hushai, which is just a guy, and they start listening to him when, you know, if they would have listened to Ahithophel when he had good advice and not when he had bad advice, you know, it could have been different. But God was in control of all of that.
Yes.
So,
of the good and evil.
Yes.
So I like what he said before, like he's saying that how the Lord was using that, like that evil with that good. Because a lot of times you look at it like, a lot of times the Lord refers to us as hands. And like he told the prophet about the potter. I said a lot of times what happens, he uses that right and left hand. And the thing is that sometimes people don't realize they've been switched to the left hand. But the Lord's still working.
Yes.
I think Matthew says all his judgments are under victory. That's a beautiful verse right there.
Yes.
You know where David was repentant? He said, in thy sight only have I sinned. And apparently other people didn't realize that. Absalom and them were still, and the other guy was still trying to basically take up things that had been done wrong to their families and things like that. And a lot of times, whether we like it or not, God wants us to repent in public.
Yes.
I mean, God will hear us, and it's not about a proud thing, but it's about a humble thing. And I tell you what, my God's all about humble. And, you know, He resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And when we try to keep it a secret, me and Brother Eddie and me used to talk about that all the time, about secret agents. As an I don't believe in secret agents. Because the scripture kept on coming to me, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. And that should do away with most secret agents. And other than that, it's maybe somebody trying to save their life. And, you know, the Bible says if you try to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you'll lose it for my sake, be saved. So, I believe a lot of times, like you said, you was quoting, God allowed him to speak something, and the people had itchy ears to hear what he was saying because they were turned off by another. And a lot of times, God knows everybody's heart. I mean, we're kidding each other. You know, we think we got to make a scheme or do something or develop or come. We got a special speaker coming, and, you know, you need to hear. But you know what? God will give ears to hear what the Spirit has to say, but it takes God. You know, we can try to be whatever we can. We can try to be the transportation. We can try to be the phone call, whatever, to encourage people. But unless the Spirit's drawn, they're not drawn.
That's true.
I always tell people the Spirit's the keeper. He keeps what he draws.
Well, if you read on, you find out that the bad advice that Ahithophel gave was that David had left behind 10 concubines to keep his house. And Ahithophel advised Absalom to set up a tent on the roof. Does that sound familiar?
Yes. Yes.
So that's Ahithophel's bitterness coming out, saying, see, you did it in secret, but we're doing it in front of everybody. And he advised Absalom to go into the concubines. And bad advice. Because there were those that, you know, may have been swayed by Absalom, but they knew the commandments of the Lord, and they knew that wasn't right.
But so it had to be done.
It had to be done.
Because it had already been prophesied.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. And then the good advice that Ahithophel gave was to pursue after David immediately and overtake him, because they knew that, you know, they were tired and that they could take him. And Hushai goes, no, bad advice. David's a man of war. He won't be with the people. He'll be off hiding somewhere waiting to ambush you. And so they go, oh, yeah, we like that advice better than Ahithophel. Well, had they done that, they, you know, it possibly could have turned out different. But the Lord was in control, and they followed Hushai. And so David and the Israelites that were following him were able then to, you know, conquer Absalom. And the end of Ahithophel was when he discovered that they were listening to Hushai instead of himself, went home, put his house in order, and hung himself. Yeah, because he knew that that Hushai had given him bad advice and that it was all over anyway. So, I don't know, it's just the whole thing is interesting when you just see how God
dissected all.
Yeah. he knows what's in men's hearts. Mm-hmm. He knows what's in our heart.
Yes.
And I mean, one of the major themes that I took from this story was, don't hate your brother.
Yeah.
Don't hate your brother. If there no good comes of it. God knows what's in your heart and you can't hide it from him. And, you know, that hate also can spread to other people. The scripture says that. Your feelings and your thoughts, you know, when you share them, they influence people.
You know, this kind of gets us back to what you were saying last night. This is a pre-forgiveness, by the way. There is none. And then in the New Testament, we find that, you know, forgive one another. It talks about forgiveness. And it says, actually, in one scripture, it says, you know, and how many times should I forgive you? And, you know, because you're trying to count. Well, if you got to count, you're really not interested in forgiving. But he said, but if you forgive not, this is important, you won't be forgiven. So, there, you know, with God, God knows how to balance the books, in case anybody don't know that. And, I mean, we don't have to bring up our past. Forgetting those things that lie behind us and pressing toward tomorrow. Don't you know that's God's presence? His right now, his ageless presence encouraging you to come on? Because he's already come.
You know, like that, if they judge you not, lest you be judged. And also because I've heard like saying like in a way that unforgiveness is really like poison you taking that you want to give somebody.
That's right.
Well, the 55th Psalm, I don't know. There's a lot there. I mean, you know, David cries before the Lord. He prays. And one of the commentators that I was reading acted like, you know, he wasn't troubled by what was happening. He wasn't frightened. But that's not what it sounds like to me. So anyway, part of it I'm sure was that, you know, he didn't want it to come down to him and Absalom. But he prayed, the Lord answered him, and toward the end of the psalm you see that he trusts God for his deliverance.
Yes. Yeah. And the 22nd verse of the 55th chapter, it says, cast your burden on the Lord, releasing the weight of it. I love that. Mm-hmm. And he will sustain you. He will never allow the consistently righteous to be moved, made to slip, fail, or fall.
Mm-hmm. Another one, I can think with that word righteous, that means just being in right standing.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. That's Calvary.
Mm-hmm. That's relationship.
Mm-hmm. I guess the reason why David got most of his prayers answered was because most of the time he was in agreement with God when he said
yes, yes, yes.
No deep, dark mystery to that. He was always erring on the side of compassion and mercy.
Yes.
Even when he came back into Jerusalem, a lot of people who had things in the past against him came and bowed before him and said, forgive me, and David did. He forgave them all.
Just like Jesus is going to do in the end.
Amen.
When all his accusers come before
Amen.
Him.
Amen. Anybody else, or can we quit on that? Mm-hmm. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank
yes.
you for your word. Lord Jesus, it's a light unto our feet.
Yes.
Lord, help us to walk in it. And we ask that you bless this service today, Father. Bring
yes.
forth your word as you see fit. Bless Doug, Lord, that he only speaks what he hears from you, Father. And let
yes.
us have receptive hearts, and we
yes.
thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.